Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where our goal is to help celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world by interviewing leaders and hearing their stories. I'm your host, Daryl Crouch, and today we have with us Steve and Patty Buss from Eugene, Oregon, with the One Hope Network. And Steve and Patty, it's really good to have you here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be here, Daryl.
Well, you're with the One Hope Network, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we get into the details of some of that, just would y'all tell us about yourselves and how you kind of came to this place that you're in today?
Well, Patty and I served within a local church in one capacity or another, and then in missions for several years. We were raised up in ministry just by doing ministry at Colorado State University. As students ourselves, and we were invested in by our college pastor, and we were privileged to be a part of just a wonderful movement of the Holy Spirit and seeing many young people at that time come to know Christ there at Colorado State. While we were there, one of the things that the Lord inspired me in was to get other campus Christian leaders together to pray. I saw the Navigators guy. He would be meeting with guys one-on-one discipling them, and the Campus Crusade guy, and he was doing the same thing, and the Baptist Student Union guy, and InterVarsity, and we struck up a friendship and thought, well, hey, let's pray for each other. Let's pray for the campus on a regular basis. So we'd meet Friday mornings at 8 a.m., and we would just do that, just pray for the campus, pray for each other. All the groups started to grow, and they were growing already, but just there was a greater growth that took place and just a camaraderie. And it was just good. And we did some things together. The school itself hosted a large party, and it was called College Days with an A-Z-E. And we would plan events like volleyball, and we had prayer meetings. We would go witnessing, and we just did stuff together just to make an impact on the campus. And so that's where it started in my heart. Patty was a part of that too. She ended up being an associate pastor in the college group there. And then we were sent off into missions. We served with a missions organization for 3 years. And then after that, came to Eugene, Oregon, and served on staff at a local church for 15 years before stepping off staff and starting to serve with One Hope full time. Patty, you want to add to that?
And I think part of the journey while we were in missions, we actually felt like we were probably going to be heading over to the Soviet Union to do some church planting or something. We'd taken a number of trips there and felt like a change was coming when the Lord redirected our path to come, literally called us to Eugene, Oregon. We came with sort of that missional mindset, actually. We're like, well, if we're going to this city, what do you want to do here? Or what are you doing here, Lord? So that was kind of at the core of even our asking as we came to this location.
That's so good. You know, sometimes we find that the work that we're trying to do here in the cities in the West is something that folks who have been on the mission field have been doing for generations, really, knowing to love their city and love their community, whether it's in hospitals or schools or micro businesses, whatever it may be, in order to create sustainability and to change systemically the culture of that particular village or community. And so I think a lot of us who are in city gospel movement work, we're learning a lot from folks who have been living missionally for a long time. And so that's a great observation. Well, tell us about One Hope Network. And by the way, our listeners can find you at onehopenetwork.org and encourage them to go there and see what you're doing. But tell us a little bit about One Hope Network and what you're doing now.
Well, what's currently happening with One Hope is there's a lot of activity. Let me try to boil down what we're endeavoring to do just in the language we're using. There's a lot of great city movements around the world right now, but just to use some of our vernacular, if you will, we've got this longer mission statement, but we kind of boiled it down to a simple phrase that we think people can remember and has become a part of our language. And we just simply say, we're joining together to show Jesus love. And that kind of summarizes our mission with something that's repeatable, and people say it over and over again. And it just really comes, you know, quite simply from the Lord's heart and desire from John 13 and John 7, John 13, Jesus saying, a new command I give you, as I loved you, so you must love one another. So that desire at the core for pastors who live in the same community, and we as pastors who live in the same place, Can we take some baby steps to exert agape towards one another? And then John 17 with Jesus' prayer that we would be one, as the Father and Son are one, and the result of that is the world would believe and know. And then, yeah, I could go on and on, as you well know, in the New Testament, of God's desire for the body of Christ, especially at a leadership level, to be loving one another and to be in unity. So anyway, that's some of our core. So along with that mission, joining together to show Jesus' love, we have three simple objectives that are true in all of these movements. Number one, together pray. Number two, together serve. Number three, together share the good news. And so our niche and our calling is the together piece. So we want to see together prayer taking place on many different levels. So on a monthly basis, there are 60 to 100 pastors and leaders in our community who gather once a month to pray for each other and to take twice that amount of time at least and pray outwardly for the community. It happens monthly. Then back in prayer also, we currently have 41 congregations, 41 churches in our community that are taking one day a month to pray for 24 hours. And then that's strategically administrated. So there are 10 sectors that we pray into, and each of the sectors has a leadership team coming up with relevant prayer requests for that sector. So we've got a government sector and a business sector and a first responder sector and a family sector, education, and so forth. Again, each of those sectors has a team. That team once a month comes together for an hour. It's made up of people who work in that sector. They come up with relevant ways to pray. It goes on a prayer guide. 10 sectors have a prayer guide. All those prayer requests, they go to all 41 participating churches. So together we are interceding for our community in relevant ways, 24/7 intercession. And then by the mercy of God, we're able every other month, we print a document of answers to prayer. So we send out the prayer guide every month. Every other month, along with the prayer guide, answers to prayer go along with it. And we're just finishing our third year of doing this prayer initiative, which we call One Church, One Day. And God's answered a lot of prayers. We've seen collaborative ministry start. We've seen people in authoritative positions brought in after months of prayer. So the body of Christ is praying together. Leaders, pastors are praying together. So we are together praying. That's our first and foremost part of our work in the joining together work. The second element is that we're joining together to serve. And in a lot of communities, this is happening in just wonderful ways, very similar to so many places in the United States. Churches are coming together in school partnerships, just serving their schools. There's a whole bunch of great examples of that. And we do this big event every year that launches many churches and has launched many churches into school partnerships called Project Hope. You want to talk about that, Patty?
The last weekend of August every year. And the first day on Saturday, churches go and they serve their local school. However, the wish list is put together by the principal or maintenance person. And they just serve the school, get the school ready to open up for the new year. And then the second day, we have a kids' fair, which is held simultaneously in five locations. And we serve about 3,000 students. And they come and get new shoes, new socks, backpacks, filled with school supplies. They can get a haircut. There's a little bit of a medical component. And then we do it in a really fun, like, carnival environment. Make it a real community event. So that's one of the ways we're serving together. There are other ways we're serving as well, but that's one.
That Project Hope Outreach has launched a whole bunch of churches. And every time we do Project Hope, we encourage pastors and churches that this is a step in the right direction, that as you serve a local school, there are many local examples of how churches in small and large ways partner with the school throughout the year. And so we try to create an encouraging environment where pastors and churches are sharing best practices and testimonies, and we're encouraging one another along the way. So that's just one example of how together churches are serving the community. We've already talked about together how we're praying. And then as we do those two things, pray and serve, it gives us a place to stand up together and share the gospel. And we're all speaking about who Jesus is, what he's accomplished for us as we have pursued him in prayer and served our community. It enables us to have that place of letting the gospel come forward with some demonstration as well.
Well, that's a mouthful. I mean, that is.
I restrain myself too. So.
I know you need to be a little more excited about it, Steve. A little enthusiasm would help us a lot. No, it's so exciting, and I can see why you're excited about it. And such a great reminder that city gospel movements and city movements really do call us together in a very tangible kind of way. Can you talk a little bit more about that? Just drill down a little bit into what it takes to build that level of cooperation among churches and church leaders.
Yeah, I think for sure that trust is the main thing. We have a phrase, it's not ours. Don't know where it came from exactly, but we use it often. The kingdom moves at the speed of trust. And we really see that as we've continued to trustingly pray together and take time to love each other, that then our endeavors actually can just take off. Like we can really work together. We can harmonize together. We can impact together. We can love our community better. But we call it really the mortar that holds the whole building together is this brotherly love, the unity between the body of Christ, leaders and the people. And that takes place by really praying together once a month. It also takes place, we get together at the beginning of every January and go on a prayer summit where we have 50 to 60 leaders, and it's 3 days of just being with one another and with the Lord. Mm. And we share our lives, we pray for our families, we pray for each other, we pray for each other's ministry, we pray for the community. And that, I think that's really what carries the day and enables everything to work.
Again, interacting with the Lord in prayer and one another is obviously a foundation for what we do, and not only the monthly meetings, but the prayer summit, as Patty mentioned. But I think also just drilling down for a movement to be successful is it really takes years, years, and years. I started being a part of pastors praying together here in this community in 2001. There had already been, just like in every community, there had already been forerunners before I got involved in the picture that were bringing together pastors, that having meetings together, building relationship, and the Lord just orchestrated. We came into that environment. So there's a group of pastors that started that prayer summit. So then, you know, and the things that we're doing now, there's just a lot of things going on, but it wasn't that way all the time. You know, we just had to build trust. We prayed together for years. It was years before we did some kind of serving outreach together. But then when we did it, as we had those relationships and we're praying about it, there was good fruit that happened. Well, let's do that again then. And people were impacted. And so I think longevity and years is also a really key component of building a solid movement.
Yeah, that's so helpful to us. I think some of us really want quick success. We want to see things happen, you know, at our speed rather than the speed of trust. I think it's interesting that we all know that it takes a while for someone to earn our trust. Somebody that walks in off the street doesn't have our trust immediately, yet sometimes we expect others to trust us like that, and it really doesn't happen until we've really invested in a relationship over time.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you for joining us here on the City Gospel Movements podcast, where we help to celebrate and accelerate gospel movements around the world. So join us next time at citygospelmovements.org.